Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Tonight's sermon. At the start of this week, I had two directions where that I feel like I could go. But then Pastor Alex shared that dream of his, and that just solidified the direction. It wasn't two directions. It was actually one direction. I didn't want to deliver it. But then that just confirms it, okay? My name is Lee. I'll tell you a little bit about my background if you don't know. If you're new here. See, tonight's message is all about cutting people free and lifting them up out of sin. If you've been in a church for all your life, right, you usually encounter people that are religious. And so when you hear someone talking about sin, you start getting antsy because you feel like, oh, I'm about to be condemned. But the way I got saved was in 2005, my mom has been praying for me for 5 years. And from the minute she started praying for me, I actually went downhill and it became worse and worse and worse. So for all you praying mums and dads out there, don't be discouraged. Keep praying because you just never know. We also had a friend. Don't know if they're in here or not, it's all good. But I know for a fact that the wife has been praying for the husband for a long, long time for his salvation. And she passed away, but she never got to see him accept the Lord. But I think about a month or two after she passed on, he accepted Jesus. So you just never know, okay? But the point is, after she started praying for me, I got worse. Started taking drugs, selling drugs. I saw this drug called GHB. It's a clear white liquid. And I bought it from my dealer that particular day. I sold a liter, just sitting in my car. People were just queuing up. I thought, look, man, it's like 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning. I've already sold a liter. I might as well grab another batch and see if I can get rid of that as well. And so I went to my dealer, and we did the deal in the middle of the street because he put the drugs in a water bottle, and he gave it to me. And I remember saying to him, you're a genius, because we just did the deal in the middle of the street. I went to my car, and where do you hide a liter of GHB? I put it in the dashboard of my car. And then this young lady who was only in the scene for a month came in. She was thirsty. She thought that was a bottle of water and took a mouthful. Long story short, she passed away. And at that moment when she passed away, I said, God, I made a royal mess of my life. And if you're real, kind of do something right now, because if you don't, you don't exist. And then my whole life flashed in front of my eyes. I saw the stupid moment that I, you know, all the stupid decision that got me that place. And I felt this fire was burning all around me. And then when I said, if you're real, God, this is it, that fire went inside. And it felt like a veil scrolled off my eyes and flew off. It felt like I could think for the very first time. I was shocked at how I got there because I was going, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm here. I wouldn't sell drugs. Oh, wait a minute, I did. I wouldn't take drugs. Oh, wait a minute, I did. What happened? I became born again, right? So when I give the Lord, you can give the Lord a clap. You do that. So when I became a Christian after that, I started reading the Bible. And in the Bible, it says, the wages of sin is death. So when I talk about sin, it's like a man who's walking down the road and he got mauled by a bear, right? So I survived that mauling and I came along and I go, hey guys, there's a bear down that road. Don't go down there. Are you hearing me? So I'm not talking about it as, oh, you're a bad person. I'm saying, don't do it. You're going to die. Okay? So that's my heart. But some people, the minute you start mentioning sin, they start going, oh, and they start getting aggressive. But just put your armor down, put your shield down, and listen to this word. Are you ready? Let's pray. Stretch forth your hand towards me, please. Here I am, Lord. Speak through me, God. I'm asking for the spirit of wisdom and revelation right now to descend in this place, God, and let people hear the heart of this message, God. And I do not permit any interference in the airway, not hearing what they want to hear, not hearing what they think they hear, but God, let them hear the word of God. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, come. Speak through me right now. In Jesus' mighty name. And before we start, I actually felt like, Natalie, your word was amazing. I felt, actually, there was someone that God says to call them up at the end, because it is pretty intimidating. But I felt like there's someone, you've been berated by your stepdad, and it's almost they've spoken like word curses, like death over you, and you haven't been able to shake free out of it. A couple of weeks ago, we had the interns sharing the testimony. And one of them, Mandy, was talking about how she was told when she was young that she was worthless and that nobody could love you. You know, you better just settle with anyone that shows interest in you. And because she was told she was worthless, she believed she was worthless, she acted as though she was worthless. You following me? And so some people say that, you know, sticks and stone might break my bones. It's a lie, because the word of God, words are like, the tongue is like a rudder in James. It says that if you can steer a big ship with a little rudder. Okay, so words spoken over you matters. What you believe about yourself matters, because it affects how you speak and how you think. Are you following me? So later on, if you're that person, you know, you've been cursed by your stepdad specifically, you want to come forward, and I'm going to get Nat to actually speak that psalm over you. We're going to break the curses, and then I'm going to get Nat. No, he's spot on. And then also during worship, I saw Jesus about the size of this ceiling standing over there, and I realized that Israel and AJ, he was standing where you guys were, where you guys are. And it's a simple word. It's just saying, God wants you to just look at how big he is. The challenges may come, but it's not, don't look at the problem, look at him. He's got the resources. And so I'm just going to leave it at that. Sometimes we try to make it more anointed by saying more, but that's just all I saw. Okay, so I hope that's helpful to you. In Jesus' name. All right, let's check. I've got a little clicky. Oh, it's on. All right. Are you ready for the Word of God? Yes. Without the Word of God, we've got nothing. Without the Word of God, we've got opinions. Right? And the opinion changes. But the Word of God never changes. Okay. Whoop. Come on. Aha. This is the human condition. We are all sinners. You are actually sinners before you did anything sinful. You are sinners because the Bible says in the beginning, God didn't create Adam with original sin, by the way. God created Adam perfectly in his image and his likeness. And then Adam got deceived by the serpent and ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And knowledge of good and evil came into Adam and Eve, and they became separated from God. And so that is the sin. So Adam and Eve ate something and sin entered into them. And you go, what happened? How do we become all sinners? Because God created everyone from Adam, and then he pulled out a rib out of Adam and turned it into Eve. You need to start grabbing this by faith. But this still makes more sense than it rained upon the rock and then out came everything. I know I make it out as I'm pretty stupid. In a way, that's not that far wrong. But I actually got into chemical, it's a material, but it's a chemical engineering at Monash University without studying. I played Warcraft in year 12. But that was my downfall. I thought I was a flipping genius. I thought I was so smart, if I didn't study in year 12, I could breeze through university. Guess what? I was wrong. That thing just took off. Like the first and second week was really easy. It was basic. Then it just went up, and then it just never came down. I've had subjects, math subjects, that are all Greek letters. I'm like, man, this is not even maths. It's like alpha, omega, that's the squiggly sign thing. I'm like, I'm done. Man. I mean, I didn't attend the lectures. I can't even fake this one. But get this. Right, they say that it rained. It's called this thing called primordial soup, right? There's amino acids, and amino acids connect, and then it became more complicated, and I became a human. But like this, if you don't know anything about chemical, the chemicals, right, in amino acids are reactive. There's this thing called the chains. They're very reactive to oxygen. So before these amino acids can connect with each other, they'll react with oxygen first. I'll show you what this means. You peel a banana, there's a process called oxidation. The oxygen in the air will interact with the banana, makes the banana go brown. There's more oxygen in the air than amino acids in the beginning. Are you with me? All right, so they say, how can natural selection selects, it decreases information. It doesn't increase information. Okay. Now, the reason I'm saying this is like, oh, you're stupid. You believe a whole human race came out of Adam and Eve. As I said to you, it actually makes more sense than it rained upon the rock and then out came a human being. I've never seen a frog evolve into anything else than a frog. Right? For something to be scientific, it has to be reproducible in laboratory condition. I've never seen a frog go into anything other than a frog. I've got a little child. He's reading lots of dinosaur books and it's just infuriating. I know he's being innocent, but I don't know. It's just, I'm reading these books and I'm just like, oh. Get this. The Bible is an amazing word of God. The Bible says God put Adam to sleep and then out of his rib came his bride. The Bible says if you die in Christ, you don't actually die. It says you sleep. Jesus slept on the cross. He was pierced in the side. And out of that water and blood, God made a bride for himself. He took out a wife for Jesus. The church is the bride of Christ. That's a type and shadow, right? And that's just one of, because the Bible has hundreds of these. You following me? So going back to that, Adam sinned. We were all inside of Adam and Eve, and we were born in sin because of Adam and Eve. Are you following me? So we are sinners because of Adam. Now, the thing about saved by grace, apart from works, right, is that in the Old Testament, people think that you have to obey the Levitical law, which is a series of rules to become righteous. But again, the Bible says that the law cannot make anyone righteous, because the problem is we are sinners. So if we are sinners because of Adam, if I perform like rituals and obeying the law, all it does is that it makes me a sinner who performs the law. Are you following me? Sinner is my identity. I'm Chinese. Just because I cook sausages does not make me a German. Just because I do something, it doesn't change who I am. Are you with me? Romans 5:12, all over chapter 5 in Romans, it talks about this. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and does death spread to all men because all sin. Oh, come on now. Oh, Jesus. Oh! Same point. Ephesians 2. Without Jesus, we are dead in trespass and sin. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespass and sin, in which you once walked, unless you're still walking in it. This is my first time preaching with this. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So this is a belief that I have a problem with. Forgiven but unchanged, right? So before Christ, we're sinners, dead in trespasses and sins. But then you accept Jesus, and what happens is Jesus gives you the forgiveness of sins, but you are unchanged. Right? Even there's a saying, we are sinners saved by grace. If we are sinners saved by grace, you are still a sinner. You following me? Before salvation, we are sinner. After salvation, we have forgiveness, but we're still a sinner. So if you believe that, what happens is your Christian walk involves just like apologizing to God out of a sin that you can't stop. Are you following me? Forgiveness of sins, but our identity is unchanged. If you're still a sinner, then you're going to sin by faith because you believe you're a sinner. I'm a sinner, then I get forgiven. But nothing changes in me, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And I can't help it. And you go, well, just say sorry, God. Then some believe even say, you're forgiven, past, present, future. So you don't even need to apologize. So you're forgiven, but you're still sinning, but you don't need to apologize. In codependency, there's this thing called the enabler. The enabler helps the person that is in trouble, in a destructive behavior, but they don't try to help them out. They leave them in their sin, leave them in their addiction, leave them in their brokenness, and then it just makes them continue in their brokenness. Are you following me? And I'm saying that this is not the full gospel. When we accept Jesus, we are forgiven. However, we are also changed. Romans 6. If you got your Bible, let's go to Romans 6. All right, Romans 6. Do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. Romans verse 5-7. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the, oh my goodness, body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Say, free from sin. Free from sin. when we believe in Jesus, you are absorbed into the cross. It's not only the forgiveness of sin, but God doesn't do anything. What he does is that he changes you. The old you, the Adamic nature, was drawn into the cross, crucified. The law says the wages of sin is death. We're sinners, so we deserve death. Inside the cross, you died. You are buried and you are resurrected. And when you are resurrected, you're no longer the old you. You are changed. Are you following me? You have been freed from sin. I've got the message translation here. The message is awesome. It's like it's saying that you've changed country. You're migrated. You're no longer living there. Right? That's why it's like you've got an old boss. So what happens is when you believe in Jesus, you change master. You go from having the devil into having Jesus as your master. So when the devil calls you, you no longer have to obey. No longer have to obey. And the Bible actually said you shouldn't obey. Are you following me? But it requires a turning around. So, see, salvation. See, when Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it says their eyes were opened. So the question is, how did Adam name all the animals in the world with his eyes closed? Because Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and his eyes were opened. So what was he looking at with before he sinned? He was looking through his spirit. His soul was facing the spirit. His soul was facing God. He was in a garden and he was able to see God. He ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the soul flipped from the spirit into the flesh and his eyes were open. And then now he sees everything through the flesh. That's why for salvation to occur, there needs to be a repentance, which is in the Hebrew, a turning around. That's why in Ephesians 2, it says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We're dead. That's why I said, that's if you turn around and start following Jesus. But if we don't tell people that they have to turn around and follow Jesus, they're going to still be going in the dead and trespassing sin. So how can you be dead in trespassing sin and say God's forgiveness just covers you endlessly? It's like an enablement gospel. And the reason I'm saying that is that we are living in a time where the world is going really, really silly. And the differentiation between the church and the world has to be very distinct now. We are children of light, not children of darkness. And so that's what God wants. This is the message, I think, in preparation for next week, Pastor Alex. It's like, this is the setup for that. God is calling you to turn around and to follow him. And when you follow him, you receive forgiveness. And then later on, I'm going to introduce, you know the word, I've been studying the word sozo, salvation. Salvation is actually the word sozo. It means deliverance. Deliverance from danger, deliverance from captivity, and to be made whole, which is deliverance from sickness. Are you following me? So the word salvation is not just, like we think it's just salvation, it's deliverance, it's save, heal, delivered. It's wholeness. And the reason I started investigating this is because back in Geelong, we used to minister a lot to the homeless people. And, you know, I did what I could and shared the gospel. We loved on them. And then some of them actually prayed the prayer. And I thought, yes, they prayed a prayer. But then I look at them. Weeks goes by, month goes by, years. They're still homeless. They were alcoholic before. They're still alcoholic. They're living on the street before. They're still living on the street. And I'm thinking, what would they save from? Are you with me? Now, I don't know. Like, they can stand before God, and I don't know. I'm not God. God could let them in. I don't know. But I believe as a preacher, my job is not to lower the bar. I'm called to preach the Word of God. My mentor says, do not apologize for the Word of Godly. He goes, if it's in the Word of God, it's in the Word of God. Don't apologize for it. Okay? So, woe to people who soften this because they don't want to step on any toes. Because they could try to grow a big church, but the Bible in James says, let not be many of you be teachers, because you're going to have to stand before the master and you're going to give an accounting for every word spoken, especially as a teacher. Are you with me? My job is to step on your toes today so that you can turn around and make yourself truly right with God. And here's the thing. Did you know that the retirement age has just been increased? Anyone know that? To 67. The way the economy works, right, is that you need young people to work to pay for the retired people. Kevin, yeah, Bridget! Kevin, yes! Come on, man! Did you know there's a population collapse coming to most of the Western world? Did you know that? See, God gave sex. In the beginning, God says, be fruitful and multiply. He made Adam and Eve so that Adam and Eve could be fruitful and multiply. These days, we have these things called friends with benefits. Sex with no commitment. Sex instead of a way to grow closer as a couple, as a glue for intimacy, have been reduced to something you do when you're bored. Just something for fun. People have sex. They don't want the commitment. They impregnate the women. And then if you don't want the child, you just abandon them. And by the way, if you grow up without a mom and a dad, the likelihood of you being a delinquent increases. The likelihood of you being in poverty increases. For my case, I was looking up Jordan B. Peterson's, some of his talks, and I got inspired and I started looking at some stats. I found out that if you're growing up as an orphan, which is when I was 11, my mum and dad went back to Indonesia, and so I was practically an orphan. It says my likelihood of going to jail increases by 30 to 40%. Guess what? I fell into that statistics. Yeah? So here's the thing. Sex is no longer confined to marriage. We don't know what the purpose of sex is. Even some people now are being encouraged to have same-sex relationship, which doesn't produce children. People fornicate. They don't have children till late, or they have children, single parents, having like four or five children with four or five different partners. You know, most of the people in jail are there because they don't have a dad. They grow up angry, rejected, and little boys who are angry grow up to be men who are angry. And some of them just go into gangs and drugs, bikie gangs, and then they go and reproduce themselves. Are you following me? This is why I'm actually going to preach on marriage. I can feel it because I need to. It's just burning up. But when God says, get married, have sex within the confine of a marital relationship, it's for our good. It's not about, oh, can I do this and go to heaven? It's like, it's death. Are you following me? Children are being aborted. They're children, not fetuses, by the way. And I know I'm treading on things because some people in here most likely will have had an abortion or two. God loves you, He forgives you, and He does. He wipes it clean. But I'm saying this for future. I'm saying this. This is why God said certain things. When he says marriage is good and you shouldn't fornicate, because there's a reason for it. Because fornication is death. Adultery is death. Whatever he says is sin is death. Are you following me? And whatever he says to do is life. Jesus did not come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil. He came to give life and life more abundantly. I'm living what the world can consider boring life. I've got a wife, I've got a little kid, I've got a house. Pretty boring. Tell you what, it's better than having some drug addict beating at your door, trying to break into your house, rather than having the police knock on your door. Like I can see a boost bus now and a drug testing bus, and I'm like, I wind the window down and go, come on. In the past, I'd be like, oh, Yui, right? Now you can test me all day long. So. That's right. That's true freedom. I remember going to work before I became like a full-time pastor. It was Monday morning, 10 o'clock. They were doing breath testing. And I wonder, we know that. Come on, test me. And I said, excuse me, officer. Man, who would drink at 10 o'clock in the morning? And then he just laughed. And I realized, oh my goodness, he's trying to catch people from the night before. But when we're not on drugs, we're not drinking alcohol, getting smashed, I can get breath tested all day long. Like, you know, the airport, do you want to do the test? I'm like, test me. I don't care. I'm not carrying anything dangerous. And I went to Rockhampton. He goes, do you have anything dangerous or sharp to declare? I would say my wit, but it was only 6 a.m. Ah, hallelujah. Back to the sermon, eh? Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. New creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When I accepted Jesus, I wanted to become new because the old me sucks. The old me was selling drugs, taking drugs. He was lost. He had the police after him. And I'm like, God, will you give me a second chance? And God's like, yes. It's like, you can have your second chance. I didn't want to be me. And I'm like, wow, that's a good news. I don't have to be me. But here's the thing. When you accepted Jesus, you're called born again. Okay. This is extra, right? I don't need to bring this up. But if you got your Bible, let's go to 1 John. You got your Bible? Oh, that was a bit. Woo-hoo. Where's your Bible, Nat? All right. You got your Bible? Man, who carries the Bible these days? You don't need to bring it up. 1 John chapter 2. Watch this. Last time I mentioned this, a lot of people got blank stares. That's right. If you're there, say there. Okay. Verse 12 onwards. I'm going to read to you, okay? I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Do you notice that? They're actually different words. That's why it was translated as little children, fathers, young men. The reason it got translated different is because it uses different words. Are you following me? Right? Little children, I think it was, it's technion. I know that there's 5 or 7 different words. Technion and technon, some people can say, well, same. But technon is like a young child. You got huios, and you get pater. Are you following me? So what happens is this. You were dead in trespass and sin. Jesus calls you and you say, hey, you know what? Would you like to follow me? And you turn around and you follow Jesus. What happens is you are born again, you are forgiven. But when you are born again, you are born a baby. There's a word called brephos, which is newly born. Then you become nappion. Little child that wears nappies. My child wears nappies. He can speak, sort of. He can't drive a car. He shouldn't. He can't pay his bills. He can't cook. Are you following me? So he's a son. He's a male. But he's not strong enough to do anything. Because he needs to grow. Unlike me, hopefully he grows up in 20 years' time. I became like a 30, 40-year-old baby. Are you following me? So when you turn around, what happens is you grow in maturity. And so you increase and you grow even in the manifestations of righteousness. Just because you stumble because you are immature, God doesn't throw you out. You don't need to keep coming up here and giving your life to the Lord unless you have to. Are you following me? Even though as a preacher, people who give their life to the Lord every couple of weeks looks good on my stats. I can say to Pastor Alex, hey, 5 people came to the Lord. 4 the regulars. Right? It can feel good on me, but honestly, it's fake. I don't know. No. But if you're really, really compelled to come forward, you can come forward. But you don't need to. Okay? What happens is your identity gets changed. Is this all right? Your identity gets changed. You became righteous. So what God wants you to do is to live according to your new identity. Last time we had Mandy giving a testimony, and she was told when she was a young girl that, you know, you are so ugly that no one wants you, and if someone shows interest, you should just take it. And because she was told she was worthless, she believed she was worthless, and then she acted worthless. Are you following me? What the gospel does is that it changes your identity. The worthless person gets crucified, done away, thrown away, circumcised. The reason in the Old Testament it gives us the sacrament of circumcision is to demonstrate something. Your old identity is like that piece of foreskin. It gets cut off and thrown away. You're not supposed to live out of it. Some people continue to live out of their foreskin identity. They continue to live out of their old identity. And the Bible calls that unbelief in your righteousness. Because you believe you're still dirty because you're still a sinner, then you're going to act sinfully because you're a sinner. Are you with me? But the true gospel says you have been changed. You have been co-crucified, co-buried, co-resurrected. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are you all right? Let's see. Praise God. But here's the thing. If you're wondering, okay, if I've been changed, I still have some stuff that are hanging off me. How do I get rid of it? Glad you asked. For the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. It says, right? What the law does is like the sinner comes along. The law goes, do this, don't do this. So it leaves the sinner to try to perform the law. What the gospel does is that he doesn't tell you what to do. It comes in and it helps you. The grace of God doesn't tell you to just change. The grace of God changes you and it helps you. And what it does is the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. So it's not from the, you're not trying to perform like a set of standard. The teacher, it's like you're given a test. But the teacher comes and lives inside of you. Are you following me? The Holy Spirit himself comes inside of you and then he wants to do things. Now he wants to love, he wants to be joyful, wants to be peaceful, He doesn't want to be holding people in unforgiveness. Are you following me? That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, here we go. Colossians 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, now this is the action bit. Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you live in them. But now you yourself are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. The word put off, it means to remove a garment. You know how in 1 Peter 2:24 it says, you were dead to sins and by his stripes you were healed? Right? I always use this scripture. So the Bible says you were healed. If the Bible says you were healed, why is there still sicknesses? Because we are called to grab the things of heaven and placed it upon the things on the earth. So on the earth, there is still death. There's still decay. We still get injured. You can walk around and trip over yourself. You can hurt yourself. So what it does is that it gives you a promise saying you don't need to stay sick. You can now grab that promise and you can say to your sick member and go, in the name of Jesus, be healed. So you get healed by faith. Right? In the Bible, it says, put to death your members. Put to death, I looked it up, it means necro, out of the base word necros, which means to make into a corpse, which means to kill. Are you following me? No. Are you guys all right? I know this is pretty heavy. I've been trying to set it up, like gently give you a little morsel bits, but I'm just going to get it over and done with. See, in the Old Testament, right, when God takes Israel out of Egypt, he gave them the promised land. God made that promise to Abraham. Did you know it was 430 years later before Israel actually set foot in the promised land? So in the days of Abraham, God says, this land of Canaan belongs to you. But it's not until 430 years later that under Joshua that they walk into the promised land. And then when they walk into the promised land, there were giants there. So the land belonged to Israel, but there were enemies that wouldn't give it to them. And the job of Israel is to believe in God and to put them down. This is a type and a shadow of our journey now. God has set us free, but now he calls us to put to death these enemies. But the way we put to death is not by trying. Because if you just try, it's like, oh, I must not sin. You fall into Romans 7 verse 14 to 21, where it says, I do what I do not want to do. The more you try to do good, the more you don't do it. The more you don't want to do something, the more you do it. Are you guys still here? I am calling up Romans 5, 6, 7, 8. But that's what happens. Praise God. So in order to get the righteousness, in order to walk in this righteousness by faith, and so that you don't get into the righteousness by self-effort, it's not you trying harder. It's literally like trying to get healing, divine healing. when you get divine healing, like for example, you've got a bad knee, you go, you know, you start meditating on the scriptures because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Then you go, knee, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be healed. Thank you, God, that you have purchased my healing. This thing shouldn't be here. So get off in the name of Jesus. Just like that, that's actually how you put down sin. Father, I thank you, Lord, that I am no longer the old person. I'm no longer a person who's addicted to drugs. God, I thank you. You've made me brand new. You have transformed me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. God, I thank you that all things have passed away. I am a new creation. Father, I thank you. I used to be angry, but now I am loving, gentle, and kind. And you release faith. And as you release faith, grace comes down. Just like it's like, I've got a sore elbow. Thank you, Lord, that you're healing me. Thank you, Lord, that you purchased for my healing. God, I don't need to be sick anymore. I don't need to be in pain. So, God, I thank you, Lord. My elbow is good, by the way, in the name of Jesus. I believe if you've got a sore right elbow, God is doing that. Repeat that after me. I believe there's someone here who's got a sore right elbow, and God is saying he wants to heal you in Jesus' name. Anyone got? Anyone just got healed? Anyone? No? I just remember because Rochelle actually sent that word in. But then as I was saying that, I'm like, hey, I think there is. Anyway, it's all good. I believe. Doesn't matter. Hallelujah. And the word, Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Ah, here we go. Whoa, what is happening here? Put off. Apek duomai, made from two words, apo and ek duo. Apo, off or away. Ek duo, to sink out of, as in a garment. Therefore, apek duomai, to remove a garment and to throw it away. It's an act of faith. When you release faith, grace comes down and changes it. Sometimes it removes it quickly, sometimes it's a battle, just like healing, right? And if you have fought some sickness, sometimes you get rid of it quickly. Sometimes it takes months. Are you following me? Yeah. Put on. Enduo. To sink down, as in wearing a garment. To slip into a garment. So to change, God is telling us, remove the old person. Put on the new person. Colossians chapter 3. Are you guys all right? I know this is a lot of scriptures, yeah? And that is the sermon. This is why we need Jesus. Because whether you believe it or not, the Bible, which is the Word of God, says that we are sinners. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Whether you believe that or not, we are. I think most of us can see it in this world. What is sin? It's a lack of God. It's a lack of light. It's darkness. What is darkness? I don't say, hey, you know what? Can you turn up the darkness here? I say, turn down the light. God is light. When you lose God, what's in his place? Darkness. What is darkness? It's nature that are opposite to God's nature. God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. What's darkness? Impatient, selfishness, anger, hate, unforgiveness. Are you following me? All of us have lost the very source of life itself. So you can think you're a good person, but the truth is you're never good enough. Even if you're a good person and you got a Nobel Peace Prize, if you die, you're staying in the grave. But the Bible says if you believe in Jesus, in the twinkling of an eye, in the sounding of the last trumpet, there is a day coming when the trumpet will sound and we're going to rise out of the ground and we're going to be joined with all the saints, past and present and whatever, and we're going to be joined up in a cloud. We're going to be caught up with him. And Jesus himself will descend with a shout, beginning a new heaven, a new earth. It's going to be a glorious day. Glorious, glorious day. The kingdom of God. is like a mobile phone. This phone is on. It's got a charge on it. I charged it last night. It says 56%. So I reckon it'll last a few more hours. But after tonight, what do you reckon will happen? It'll go flat. You are those phones. Some got a lot of charge. Some got less charge. We are given one chance. God is calling us to reconnect to the source of life itself, and that's Jesus. When you're reconnected, guess what? You'll live forevermore. But not only will you live forevermore, as I said, you are joined. People say, oh man, I love my sins. Like, you haven't done it really properly. You should sin properly and go kill someone. Go destroy your life. I used to love drinking. Then I had two friends wrap the car around a power pole. One died and one went to jail. That's actually what drove me into drugs. Because I remember driving home drunk and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to kill myself. But I didn't have God. So I went from alcohol to drugs. What an option. I went from death to death. Then I found Jesus. The reason I was taking drugs was I had no hope and I was depressed. Then I found hope. I found joy. I found wholeness. I found peace. Got myself a little family. Boring life, but it's a good life. It's peaceful. Now it's joyful. It's a simple joy of preparing breakfast, cleaning the house. It's good life. Much better. I remember those days while I was on drugs, fake laughter and fake friends. Feeling hollow afterwards. Crying yourself to sleep. Paranoid of everyone. Distrusting of people. Always conflicts, fights here, fights there, stabbing here, stabbing there. I told you, towards the end there, I visited this guy randomly. 2 weeks later, he attacked the police, a special operation group with a samurai sword. He got shot. But I was entering a realm called death. People around me were dying and getting stabbed. A part of me kind of knew, it's like, hey man, if I don't get out of here, it'll come to me. It actually did come to me. When I accepted Jesus that day, I was holding on to a dead body. But you don't need to be there. Are you following me? Maybe you know that your path of life has been giving you death. Well, today, God is giving you a chance. Who would like to forsake that old empty life and begin an amazing relationship with Jesus? If that's you, can I get you to lift up your head? Can I get every head bowed, please? Every eyes closed. Is there anyone here who doesn't know Jesus and would like to begin the relationship with God? Can I get you to lift up your hand, please? You will receive the forgiveness of sins. The old person will be passed away, crucified. And you become a new person. You go from being worthless to being so valuable. For God so loved you, He gave His only begotten Son to redeem you. He died for you because by that He is saying you are so precious, you're to die for. So if that's you, is anyone in this house? Are you right with God? Can I get you to lift up your hand, please? Get everyone to just repeat this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, today I turn around from living my own life and I choose to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sins and making me brand new. Today I am a new creation. Thank you, God, for adopting me and making me your child. Fill me right now with your Holy Spirit and fill me anew. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about Fire Church, head to our website, firechurch.com.au. And don't forget to connect with us on social media, on Instagram, fire.church, Facebook, Fire Church, and YouTube, Fire Church TV. Have a blessed week.